Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 143 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin over in entertainment with the Sony and Netflix deal, Warner Media's plans to go back to the theatrical model, some movie delays coming out of Paramount Studios, and then a little bit of video game news. Then we'll move over into tech and discuss the Elon Musk video game playing monkey, some nuclear fusion, crypto news, and some space talk. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and we're back with episode 143. And we need to just start this episode getting right into some humble bragging.
I ain't humbly accepting shit. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't humbly accepting shit. We won with the 11 seed. Good pick, Ken. Yeah, we took the March Madness trophy for the next year, and I know Scott was just fist pumping the air the whole time the voting was going on.
Oh, yeah. This pretty confident this was the worst case scenario for those guys over there at Take a Knee. So for those who don't know what we're talking about here, for the last month or 3 weeks or so, they've been doing a character madness tournament. We've talked about it here on the show the last couple weeks over at Take a Knee for Marvel versus DC. One of our fellow nerd podcasting friends, we've been on their show. They've been over here, and there's a healthy competition, I'll say, that exists between Steve and what he is Scott your nemesis, or do you just claim to be his nemesis?
I'm his. Okay. I am his.
He's insignificant to you. Got it. Yeah, we were able to submit. They invited us to participate, and we told them up front, if they invite us to participate, we're taking this thing. Yep. We are winning. We both got to nominate some characters to join in the 64. And one of my picks, which was, I think, the lowest seed of all of our picks.
Yeah, for sure.
Was Dean Winchester. And yeah, the Cantina came out strong in support during this entire tournament. Dean took down, I mean, everybody that Dean went against was a favorite in their pre-seed matchings. And Dean came out and ended up beating Captain America in the finals here.
Don't underestimate them Supernatural fans, man. They got a cult following. Show went like 11 seasons, 13 seasons, something like that.
It went 13 seasons. And that's 13 seasons. That's not like Disney Plus seasons of 6-7 episodes or whatever else. That's 13 23-episode seasons. There's a lot of hours to contribute if you're going to be a Supernatural fan, and that just recently ended, and that was really the strategy here was
I was nervous right if he had to go up against John Wick in the finals, but when Captain America took out John Wick, I was like, oh, we got this. I was like, this is going to go down. In first day voting, he was down, I want to say, probably like 30, 40 votes with like 100 votes in. And then I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but I tweeted at every goddamn Supernatural Twitter I could possibly find, tagged every Supernatural fans, Dean Winchester fans, blah, blah, blah. I woke up the next day, there was like 340 votes, and we were up like 70% to 30%. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, no, I have to think that that was the winning strategy there, because it turned quickly. And then it became a landslide. Captain America didn't even come close.
He didn't even have a chance. He didn't even have a chance.
Captain America's, America's ass there didn't stand a chance.
And to all the Cantina group members that voted Captain America, because I know there's some of you out there.
You're on notice.
Yeah. You are. Yeah. Banned. Hashtag banned. I'm gonna Zuckerberg the shit out of you people.
I think we still got some good outside support, even people who were saying, vote Dean Winchester, and then they'd immediately follow it saying, who's Dean? So I appreciate those people.
Scott said he's going to send us a couple t-shirts. I really think I'm going to bring it into one of those mall places and have it like lettered 2021 March Madness champion. This is going to be my trophy shirt. This is going to be my trophy shirt from here on out.
I think we're going to record something separate for our humble little brag here.
Oh yeah, and I'm going to put some editing constraints on you. Like, we got to put, you know, the We Are the Champions at the beginning and have it softly playing in the background. And yeah, we're going to record something after this.
Yeah, so if you want to hear our direct brag to them over there, make sure you tune into their next episode, as we will send it over, and they'll play within their podcast and show their fans exactly who runs their tournament, who runs their podcast over there.
Staying in Scott's head rent free.
All right, let's move into some news here, and we'll start over in movie talk with, you know, one of the bigger stories that come out this last week was that, hey, Netflix has scored the exclusive streaming rights to all Sony movies coming out. So, you know, Sony movies being obviously the Jumanji series and
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man, the upcoming Venom movies. I'm always weird on like the Spider-Man thing. They talk about they're going to exclusive streaming of Spider-Man. Well, not the next couple Spider-Man, which we know are still tied to that deal with Disney. And I don't think Disney's, I don't know, maybe, maybe they,
I don't think Disney has the exclusive streaming rights. Like, but, I don't think so. Cause if you look on Disney Plus now, none of the other Spider-Man movies are on there.
Okay. All right. So maybe they are going to get Spider-Man, Venom, Jumanji, get the upcoming like Morbius movie, Uncharted with, Tom Holland, right? Yeah, yep. Tom Holland. Uncharted with him. So, you know, a fair amount of movies coming out of the Sony slate, and they're all going to stream directly to Netflix.
I've yet to see a dollar amount.
No, yeah, I haven't either.
It's got to be a crazy number.
It does, because, you know,
it's got to be a crazy number.
They paid $450 million just for Knives Out.
For two Knives Out.
For two Knives Out movies. And now they're looking at multiple years of all Sony movies coming to Netflix. I'm just glad, as a fan, I'm just glad that Sony didn't get some half-baked idea that they were going to do their own streaming service.
Hashtag like everybody samesies. Else. Hashtag samesies. Like, you know what I mean? That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to buy fucking Sony Plus now. And yeah, like, no thanks. Just
yeah, I'm glad to see Sony being smart about this and saying, hey, we make movies. We're not going to go and half-ass our way into a new industry. We'll just license our stuff out. Makes perfect sense. This is a benefit for, I think, all movie watchers.
I'm actually, though, shocked they didn't go with... See, I'm assuming a lot of the Sony movies might not fit the Disney model, because they could have just struck a deal with Disney Plus and Hulu and put all their stuff on there and kept the relationship going, you know, for the Spider-Man movies and whatnot. You know, you figure
maybe this is just their flex, because they're still not happy about this.
You figure this is like, you know, maybe a small rift in what's going on.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we also know Netflix just has more money, right? Like, Netflix is willing to outspend everybody in content generation.
Yeah, well, I just hope this doesn't make my subscription cost go up again.
I mean, it will every 6 months. Like, that's the, yeah, every six months, at least at a year, it's going to go up. It's going to keep ticking up in overall cost. So, yes, you know, we got to think, between this Sony deal and just Knives Out alone, they've spent $1 billion.
Yeah,
I mean, they
insane.
Have a $17-18 billion annual budget towards content creation, but this is money on, you know, other movies, other franchises, not including anything that they have spent or planning to spend on Netflix originals. So, you know, this is a, you know, big money spends, shows a lot of what Netflix is continuing to do, trying to dominate as far as overall total amount of content and new content. And I think, you know, they've got to see the competition. So now they're not trying to just stick with only Netflix originals is where they're spending their money, but they're trying to get that name recognition and ensure that they still bring in big movies from outside of their originals. Because, you know, that was the big scare when Disney Plus and everybody started creating things. It was, well, what movies is Netflix going to keep getting if everybody's theatrical release movies go to their services? Then all of a sudden Netflix is what, nothing but originals? And I guess they're working to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and you know, there's not much details that have come out about this yet, but I'm wondering when they're going to put up Sony's backlog of films in Netflix. Like, are we just going to get one big dump? You know, like, just all of a sudden you turn on your Netflix and it's like, in the trending categories, it's nothing but Spider-Mans and, you know, Sony movies. So I'm wondering when this is actually going to go through.
Yeah, and then we can move on to a little more movie news with Warner Media. And Warner Media has come out and said that, hey, they're going back to the theatrical model for 2022. That's their plan, going back to a 45-day release window with Cinemark. So Cinemark has already announced that it was a negotiated 45-day theatrical window for all Warner Media movies. So you got to assume AMC and everybody else is the same. And the Warner Media CEO came out and confirmed it, that yes, in 2022, movies will have a more traditional model. All of their big blockbuster type movies, like DC movies, will have their time, dedicated time in the theaters again.
Which I'm happy to hear. I'm wondering what is making them like reconsider all this. If streaming numbers and subscriptions didn't jump because of the release of Kong and all these other movies that have gone straight to. But you have to think that the most profitable way to maximize your release is a theater exclusive release. Like, it's the only thing that makes sense to me, you know, if you want to recoup your production costs right away.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think they do want to get back to the theatrical model. You know, we don't normally talk a lot about like rumors here, but you know, there were even rumors last week over like Dune this year getting back to the theatrical model based off of the success of Kong, that they're reconsidering whether they're going to take these movies towards the tail end of the year, specifically Dune, which we know the director had problems with the fact that it wasn't going to be an exclusive theatrical release. And they're talking about maybe reconsidering that. That hasn't come out as fact or like a press release or anything else. But yeah, I think if it's viable for them to make money and to recoup their costs, have big blockbuster numbers, Kong is already in the profitable margin after 2 weeks in the theater. And it's only going to get better from here, you have to assume.
And that's that's my hope, is that, you know, Kong kind of showed that even during a, you know, tail end of a pandemic with a streaming release, that it was still able to generate a decent amount of money just based on the fact that people didn't want to watch it at home. You know, it's a goddamn Godzilla versus Kong movie. Who wants to watch that on your, you know, Target doorbuster Black Friday fucking TV? Like, nobody wants to do that shit, man.
You know, I still like, want to do that.
I know. You are like, there, of course, there's going to be outliers, you know, the cheap outlier, which is yourself. There's going to be the baller outlier that has a fucking, you know, $10,000 projector in his home movie theater that gives no fucks. Like, there's going to be those outliers, like, for sure. But for the most part, you know, I think people want the movie theater experience still. They want the big screen. They want the big speakers. Now every theater has recliners and good food. And yeah, fuck your home experience, man.
No, I mean, I would be kind of glad if it goes this direction for the theaters. As a consumer, I like the options. I like the same day release. I'm a fan of being able to just say, hey, I'll buy it at home if I really want to see it. Net cost me probably not that much, and I still get some with the experience. I don't really care to go to the theater all that often.
I'm hoping we get more showings soon, because right now all they have is like 6 o'clock and 7:30 movies, and my kids and girlfriend are getting really salty when I leave the house at like 7 o'clock. I'm like, all right, you little shits, go to bed. I'm going to a movie. they get pretty salty.
Yeah, so I think we're moving towards getting back to normal. You know, Warner Media being one of the biggest movie studios, biggest blockbusters that come out, and for them to kind of commit already to a normal year of 2022, I think things are going to move in the right direction at least. But with things moving in the right direction for Warner Media, we've got some things sliding a little to the right, sliding a little late from Paramount Studios. And Paramount has announced that they have now delayed pretty much all of their movies. Let's just call them all of them. Most namely,
let's just say all.
Top Gun, Maverick being delayed and pushed back. That's now getting pushed back to the original release date of Mission Impossible 7, which has gotten
pushed
back. That
one really hurts me, though, because there's nothing that says, fuck yeah, America, then go and see a Top Gun sequel on 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
Like, that was going to be epic. Like, I was going to wear my Iceman shirt that I wear on 4th of July weekend annually. Like, there is nothing more American than Top Gun on 4th of July weekend. They had to go and fuck that all up. I'm quite disappointed.
Yeah, who knows why? I guess it's, I think it's really just profitability why. I don't think there's really, like, it's from like production delays anymore. I think this movie's been canceled.
No, the movie's
gotta
been done. It's been done.
And it just comes down to the fact that the movie was filmed in the IMAX format. It was designed to be on the big screen, and they just feel that they gotta slide it back in order to
maximize. Tom Cruise didn't fly them jets and have them cheeks flapping for you to watch it at home.
I just, the second I saw this headline and saw that it got pushed back, which also it's now taking over the Mission Impossible 7 date, and Mission Impossible 7 is now pushed back until May of 22. And the first second I saw that, I thought,
his rant.
This is great. His fucking rant. His rant of saving the world and bringing joy to COVID-struggled society and how they're...
Heroes work here. Fucking heroes work here.
And you don't get a single movie that hits during what is really the COVID time frame. Like, you don't bring anybody any joy.
You brought nobody any joy, Tom. You fucking failed. Take your lifts out your shoes and walk your ass on somewhere, because I didn't get to watch shit during this fucking pandemic.
I don't know why that brings me so much joy, but it did. Like, just knowing that, just knowing how much it probably affects his ego to just watching his movie slide. I could just see him at home just throwing things across his living room when his agent or whatever told him that this movie, both of his movies, were getting just canned and sent later.
Yeah. And I, like, to even just touch back on that old story, like the amount of the level he went off on people for just not even taking off their masks, not even like just being within each other's 6 foot bubble, like, not, you know, 4 feet apart rather than 6 feet apart, and for him to lose his shit, like, it does bring like a little bit of joy to a somber story. Because like I said, I wanted to see Top Gun 4th of July weekend. That was going to be, it was a great release date for that movie, and to push it back to like November. Like, now I'm going to go, like, it's going to be cold. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're not going to wear your cut off jean shorts. You know, and
I'm really not going to feel that volleyball scene while I'm freezing my ass off, man. I'm not going to feel it.
Yeah, and then along with those movies, obviously there's a bunch more getting pushed back, with the next Star Trek movie getting pushed back. There's a list of movies, including like John Wick 4 and everything else. So Paramount in general is just sliding everything off to the right. And I guess I get it to some degree. You just gotta move forward. But it's not like Paramount really has other options, because Paramount Plus, I still don't know a single human being who pays for that.
Hi. Hi.
Do you? Yeah. When did you buy that? Of course you did.
When it came out, just like, I got to check it out. Like, I got to see what original shows are on there and if anything's worthwhile. Nothing comes to mind as of yet.
we do a weekly entertainment segment, and you've never mentioned the fact that you've watched anything on Paramount Plus.
But I'm also really just not good about that stuff, because I have limited time to do these things, and just there's a priority list, and I check it every once in a while and be like, am I forgetting anything? Should I be watching something on here? And
you're forgetting to cancel it. That's what you're forgetting.
Nothing, like, nothing's piqued my interest yet. Same thing with like Peacock, though. The minute I got done with Suits, I haven't gone back to that app in a while either. You know, it's like, it's really weird, because like, when I smoke weed, I choose to like smoke a bowl for like 3 weeks, and I get bored with the bowl, and then I'll go to a bong, and then I'll smoke a bong for a while, and then I'll go to a joint, and I kind of rotate the way I smoke. It's kind of how I am with my streaming services. Like, I'll go Netflix heavy for a while, and then I'm like, ah, fuck Netflix. Like, what's over here? Like, I'm tired of browsing these things. So right now I'm watching Peaky Blinders on Netflix, and that show on Amazon Prime that Sean recommended, God damn it. Weird ass family bank robber show.
Okay.
You know, so I'm on Amazon and Netflix now. And then when I get done with those, I'll move to a different streaming service and find a show. Been wanting to watch Start Chicago PD, so I'll go over to Peacock again. Like, it's just a rotation.
Well, yeah.
It's getting to the point where I'm thinking about canceling my live TV because I don't know what I need to watch on live TV anymore. If I just get ESPN Plus or a sports package, I'm good. And they took the marquee network off of Hulu, so I can't watch the Cubs games fucking anyways. Yeah, I'm going to take this public announcement and say fuck you to the Ricketts for not giving me a viable option to watch Cubs games. But yeah, there's so many streaming services and so much TV on there. I really don't know what I would miss out on if I canceled my live TV anymore.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're the anchor here on the entertainment side because I don't watch almost anything.
You don't watch shit.
The only thing I've watched in the last couple of weeks, well, I've watched Falcon Winter Soldier, which is interesting, is good, and I've been trying to keep up with Invincible, which is an hour a week, and I'm still an episode behind on that. I have not been able to keep up with it. It is good.
It's good.
Those are the only two things that I have watched in the last probably 2 weeks.
I will actually I'm still surprised at that. I will take that much because if we couldn't at least talk about Winter Soldier or Invincible, come on, bro, we run a nerd podcast. Like,
unless you want to talk about American Ninja Warrior, because me and my son have been watching that together. So.
Yeah, I'm a reality TV whore. The Miz and Mrs. starts tonight, and I'm actually super pumped for that.
Ugh, gross. All right, let's move on. I guess we can get out of movies and that type of entertainment. Let's do a quick video game update with essentially just a short story on Ubisoft acquiring a company called Gameblox, which is a company that's been around for years, and it helps to spot online cheats and ensure fair gameplay takes place. And it's something that doesn't require any of the actual users or players' inputs or downloads or anything like that. It's specifically some technology that works at the server end of the gaming to spot cheats. So Ubisoft acquires this company. Gameblox says they're going to continue working with other companies that they've historically been supporting. And I guess, you know, I guess this is one way to stop cheats. I think everybody should go with that China model we talked about last week and just raid the houses of people who are selling mods and cheat mods. But I guess here in America we could just pay
it's a double edged sword. Just like prostitution, you try to get the hooker and you get the John. Get them both. Fuck them all. You cheating bastards.
All right. Not an analogy I expect to see, but works. In the end, what online multiplayer games is Ubisoft known for? I'm trying to think.
Duty, right? All the Calls of Duties. That's what I'm expecting is that you get all these people rage quitting because of some fucking camper in Duty or some aim bot. And if they lose that hardcore Call of Duty fan base because of cheating, that company dies. That company dies.
Yeah. But isn't Call of Duty Activision?
Yes, but Ubisoft is also... Isn't it Ubisoft Activision? I'm not this hardcore of a gamer to know developers.
I guess we should probably know these things, but yes. Call of Duty Black Ops is by Ubisoft Activision. All right. All right.
It's a division of Activision. Yeah, it's a division.
So I was thinking that this didn't help Call of Duty or didn't help some of these. That's why I was trying to grasp to who does this actually benefit? Which major competitive type games?
Yeah, I just know the logos that get splattered on the screen before the game runs.
All right. Well, there we go. That all kind of makes sense to me now. At least a little more on why they would spend this money to acquire this company for fair gameplay.
Yeah, if you get a bunch of people rage quitting in Duty and move over to whatever, shooter that is their competition, whether they go to Fortnite or PUBG or a lot of these other ones, it's the Call of Duty fan base is really hardcore, loyal. And this would be the one thing that would get them to be like, fuck Call of Duty.
All right, well, that makes sense. So, hopefully, if you're a big Call of Duty player over the next year or so as they start working closely with this company. Hey, maybe some of the cheats. And then yeah, you by have this time, to blame yeah, but your say, performance.
By this time next year, if you're getting no scope, shut your bitch ass up. You suck. I was just about to say the same thing. 6 months from now, you got nobody to blame, pal. You just suck ass.
All right. Well, let's do a tech transition, still in video gaming, but way more tech focused on, man, our Twitch monkey. So Elon Musk, his company Neuralink is continuing to test. They showed a demo this week of a monkey. It's a mature 9-year-old monkey playing Pong with a brain implant. And the demo shows the monkey originally starting with a projected background of a forest, of a rainforest, in front of just a simple computer monitor. And it's like sucking on a steel straw the whole time, because every time the monkey gets a hit on Pong or accomplishes a task within the games, it wasn't just Pong that it demonstrates in playing. He gets a little hit of that sweet banana smoothie coming through the straw.
And I feel him though. I feel him on that.
Yeah, and it shows him using the joystick, and then it shows, and the whole time they're obviously capturing brain impulses and mapping this out, and then it shows him still using the joystick, but then it shows the joystick, like USB, completely disconnected from it. So the monkey's using the joystick, but the joystick's not connected to anything. But he's still controlling the Pong paddles all the same. And then eventually, they get rid of the joystick altogether, and it's just the monkey working that straw and still playing Pong with the brain only. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
It's pretty cool to see, you know, the last, you know, big Neuralink demo really just showed them like getting some bleeps and blips and tracking some brain, you know, activity from a pig, but not then the pig that translating into the pig, you know, controlling anything or doing anything brain only. So this is a cool demonstration of a brain computer interface of Neuralink. Completely wireless, completely, like, you can't see this thing on this monkey's head. It's not like he's wearing some cranial support or anything else. Like, no, this is all embedded in his skull.
The skeptic in me that has watched too many video game reveals on E3 is just worried that there's some some tech dude behind a curtain with an Atari controller actually playing the game. And this is just a really, you know, the shitty demo that every developer gives out at these conferences because they're too afraid of their game crashing while live on TV. You know, I think Elon has too much pride for that. Like, I really think that he would fail on TV rather than just do a fake presentation. But man, I've been there too many times. Fool me once. Fool me once. Shame on me.
All I know is the part of the story that then turned into our sphere even more was then when Elon tweeted about getting this monkey on Twitch.
Yeah. I tweeted at him again because I think it was like February 13th or something like that the tweet originated from. We started that Twitch monkey hashtag. Like, yeah. we are the OG Twitch monkey fans, okay?
Yeah, when we first heard that he was testing video games with a monkey, we talked about it here on the podcast, and then we even went into a little segment about how that monkey would be immediately making more money than all of us in Twitch, and he needed to get that monkey on Twitch right away, and started a campaign on Twitter. Elon, surprisingly enough, ignored us, and here he is now tweeting about getting this monkey on Twitch.
Someone from the Cantina group that has some artistry to him, please draw us a hashtag Twitch monkey logo. I will put that shit on a t-shirt. Like, it will be at the Nerd Cantina marketplace the day you send me the JPEG.
I think it doesn't even need to be that artistic. It probably just needs to be this monkey.
A monkey with an Atari controller. A monkey with a straw, a banana smoothie in his mouth. Just says hashtag Twitch monkey on top. I got it in my head already. I just can't draw for shit.
Yeah, that's way complicated. I was just thinking, just turn this monkey into a meme. See if you can and put that on your shirt. You'll be all right. All right. I guess let's move on. Let's move on to, I don't know if this is like a competitor to Neuralink, but just some more brain computer interface news. And we've got a brain computer interface company that has now successfully tested it in humans for the first time. This company is working with people with injuries and some level of paralysis. And what they did was they took, this company's called BrainGate, by the way, and BrainGate, they have, it's kind of a similar process. You know, the brain computer interfaces have been around for a while with kind of wired systems being directly connected to some kind of receiver. Now this BrainGate's been in that model for a while doing wired ones, and this is their first wireless attempt with these two individuals, and it worked where they were able to, with the same level of accuracy, be able to control a computer mouse, a pointer, be able to click and move around on a tablet, be able to type on a tablet, and do so at like the same speed, same accuracy as a fully like wired system, hardwired to a computer. So this is a big step for that company in providing some accessibility to people with paralysis.
It does pain me that Stephen Hawking isn't living to see the heyday of this brain interface stuff. Like the man who would have thrived the most from this and been a, you know, great contribution to society if he could just get his thoughts out to the world in a different medium than old robot voice. I really wish that he had the opportunity to take advantage of some of these things.
Yeah, I mean it's true. Yeah, missed that opportunity. You know, really by a good couple of decades if we're talking about his, you know, at his kind of prime contributions. But yeah, I mean, still, it's a really cool thing. This is, you know, the only thing when I looked at it and I thought like, all right, well, Neuralink, I don't know if you saw the picture of the individual who had this, but these are some big,
yes,
beefy, yeah. Like these guys are wearing like full on antennas and battery packs. Yeah,
it's like
heads.
That Doc Brown helmet from Back to the Future.
So, you know, yes, it's wireless, whatever else, but it's still not like, you know, obviously this is not what Neuralink is attempting to do. Neuralink's attempting to do it to where you don't even know somebody has a brain computer interface, that it's he's got more the designer level of brain computer interfaces and trying to make it to where, you know, a normal person would do this and not just somebody with paralysis who is drastically improved by having this to the point that they're okay with wearing a massive antenna on their head.
Yeah, I will be quite disappointed if the future of the world is like every rich person walking around and you can't even tell they have it on, and then you just see millions of poor people with these giant helmets everywhere. Like, you know, you think the green bubble, blue bubble debate is bad now. Just wait till you get a bunch of poors walking around with these giant neuro helmets.
Yeah, no, ultimately a pretty cool demonstration of technology. Getting closer. Who knows when these things are like commercially available? Even, you know, Elon talked about, even with this latest successful demonstration with the monkey, he just talked about the fact that, you know, step one of Neuralink is still to provide people with paralysis and disabilities the ability to operate a cell phone faster than people can with thumbs. And that's what he keeps saying. Like, that's his ultimate goal, is to give people with paralysis accessibility and to make it so good that it's better than what us, you know, opposable thumb people have. And then once that's possible, then he can start selling it to us people with thumbs and say that, hey, we could just improve our efficiency and not even have to bother touching that dirty phone. We could just do it all with our brain.
It's going to be a crazy world in the next 10 years. My 50s are going to be insane.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure. I don't know about 10 years, 20 years, for sure. I think, you know, there's some really crazy things that I think are going to be fully adopted by then. But let's keep this train moving here. And this next one, it's outside of my scientific realm. It's just a cool story. Yeah. And that's this first fusion power plant to generate net electricity. And it says it like it's an actual thing. But from everything that I read about it, it's just a scientific model of a thing, not necessarily like a fully like a created nuclear fusion power plant that doesn't exist. But for the first time in modeling, in using some new techniques and some new scientific understandings, they've been able to come up with this nuclear fusion reactor that actually produces electricity. Whereas I think the article states that every other nuclear fusion model kind of caps out at like 67%. So it actually uses more energy than it creates. And this one is the first one that in a pretty small fusion reactor, we're only looking at like 8 meters of space needed for this, it could generate 200 megawatts of net electricity.
Okay.
I guess it's cool. All right. Like, I don't know. Let's make it and not destroy the world. I don't know.
Build the first one out in the middle of the desert for me real quick, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Or different country altogether.
Listen to you, colonizer, wanting to put a fusion reactor on some poor third world country.
There's great scientists all over the world. I don't need our scientists to figure this out. But no, it's a cool concept. It still isn't a thing. And I don't know what the difference is between this and the other ones. But hey, just know that that people are now pretty confident in the fact that they can create in a small scale nuclear fusion reactors some net energy producing and kind of.
Yeah, it's exciting that we can get away from, get more towards sustainable energy, get away from coal burning plants and all these horrible ways that we've used to produce energy in the past. Like, I really hope that this becomes a thing.
All right, and then next story, let's talk a little bit about crypto. Why not? And this is just an interesting little story. We've been talking a fair amount about crypto. It's because of our newfound, bullish mentality on crypto. You know, we're one step away from just having a YouTube video hyping up crypto as much as possible. But that's a lot of work. And
Blockchain is tech.
But no, in the end, this one's kind of interesting because Ripple, for those of you who are holders of XRP or Ripple, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats, guys. Way to hold that coin. Way to hold that bag.
that is not me, but you, you're feeling pretty good about yourself over this last like 7 days as XRP Ripple has done very well over the last week. And maybe this is as part of the fact is last week they didn't win. They've been going through this SEC lawsuit for a while now. And this news, it was like great news for Ripple. They didn't win the lawsuit yet. Like they're still, they're not done with the SEC, but they did win a in discovery in the lawsuit. They won a motion that the SEC now must hand over all documents and internal like emails and anything else about crypto assets, not just Ripple, but Bitcoin, Ethereum, everything, because Ripple's trying to make a case that they should be treated the same as Bitcoin and Ethereum, that they are a cryptocurrency on the same level as Bitcoin and Ethereum. And if they can get that classification and get distinguished like that, they're going to win this case. So somehow they convince the judge to say, hey, yep, you've got to turn, SEC's got to turn over everything. And if at any point in time, the SEC is really mentioning Ripple in the same sentence as Bitcoin and Ethereum when they're talking about future legislation and the management of crypto assets, Ripple probably wins. What I'm hoping is this just like opens up a can of worm and makes publicly available a whole lot of opinions of the SEC on the future of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to overall come out of this. It's not just going to be a win for Ripple, but it'll be a win for the general public because there is a lot of, cloaked legal jargon that defines these. Is the SEC picking the coins it wants to win by giving some classifications to certain coins and other classifications to the ones that they don't see? Like who's making these decisions? How are they being made? Considering it's a government agency, the people should kind of know these things. The government is an extension of the people. If we don't know how you're classifying this, it's kind of fucked up. I like transparency in government. This is just only going to make the SEC more transparent. If they are up to some shady shit, then we'll get to the bottom of it. I think this is a big win, not just for Ripple, but for the American people.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that this discovery, once they bring it, into the lawsuit, it becomes public record. And then, let's get some craziness from the SEC. I'm hoping like they really go deep to years ago when the SEC is kind of like, well, don't even worry about Bitcoin. It's going to be dead in a month.
All the email chains of just, you know, people are buying wild gold. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
And then you're going to get those email chains of people on their, like, their actual professional email who are going to be talking about how, like, well, I don't know what it is, but I just bought, you know, 20 Bitcoins or whatever else, all these insiders at SEC who are going to be purchasing. I'm hoping you get all kinds of scandalous craziness from the SEC, who's been, you know, really threatening legislation, threatening to cripple the U.S. cryptocurrency market and regulate into it. And nobody really knows their position. Nobody knows. So, yeah, I'm hoping you can kind of glean a little bit on the future and how SEC is going to handle the crypto market. And I'm not saying it doesn't need regulation, because it probably does.
If Dogecoin has proved anything,
and it's not just Dogecoin. Like, every day there's a new cryptocurrency, and you have no idea who's making them, what the overall plans are, whether they're even real or they're going to, you know, just get pumped and then disappear. You have no idea on a lot of these things. It probably does beg to have some level of regulation. What that equals, I'm not smart enough to know. Yeah, let's not close off the conversations, but I'm really interested to see what those conversations have been up to this point. All right, and then got a couple last stories here. One being this big deal between UPS and a vertical aircraft company, Beta. And Beta Technologies, they deliver or create these electric vertical takeoff kind of electric helicopters, flying cars, or whatever you want to call them, vertical takeoff and landing vehicles that UPS is now partnered up with to try to improve and speed up their delivery, looking to, like, commercially deliver packages with these electric drones, or, you know, parcel carrying, people carrying electric vehicles, drones. Pretty cool. They can carry like 1,400 pounds each and go 250 miles on a single charge. And I think it says it's like 170 miles per hour. Yeah, 170 miles per hour that it can fly.
Do you know what 170 mile per hour, 1,400 pound projectile falling out of the sky could do?
It's all right. Man, there's all kinds of projectiles flying in the sky.
Man, I don't know, man. This just really scares me. I don't know. Because I see the UPS guy dipping down my side street like kids don't live here all the time, man. These people, there's any time, like, if they were all automated, I would feel a lot more comfortable about this. But nah, man, I don't have faith in humans. I don't.
Well, like, this company is excited about it because, obviously, you know, you get UPS agreeing to essentially use hundreds of these things beginning in 2024. And they recognize the fact that, like, if UPS, if people just see UPS, because UPS doesn't plan on using this to deliver directly to somebody's house, but this is just going to be their rapid way to go from, you know, an airport or a distribution center, and to kind of move it from within hubs, within, you know, these major metropolitan areas, whatever else. And if people see that, you know, this company Beta recognizes that, like, if UPS can do it and does it safely and does it at scale, then it'll just communicate to the public, like, hey, this is becoming kind of a norm. This, you know, maybe you can get yourself one here soon. Like, this is a necessary step, as these, like, major corporate partnerships. And I think it's just an interesting and cool way to do things. Like, why not? Why not move it this way?
Because of humans. this is my quick and easy answer. Because of humans. Humans suck.
Yeah, I still believe that humans are going to be, like, they have a very small role in actually flying these things. The humans will just be kind of backup eyeballs, and then for the most part, you're just that ape carrying that package in and out of this.
That's fine. This thing. That's all I want it to be. I don't want to be an operator in these things. I want to be part of the package. just deliver me to a location. I want no part in operating this thing whatsoever.
No. In the end, I think it's interesting. And, you know, it's like these flying drones, even the company itself talks about how this isn't replacing jets or helicopters. It's a completely different model. It's a completely different setup altogether. And UPS is definitely all in at this point, right? They're committing to being a partner in this and to deliver packages.
Yeah, so, we'll see, man.
Let's see it. 2024. Looking forward. All right, and then last story here. Cap it off with a little bit of news and a little bit of space news here with SpaceX just announcing that, hey, they're done trying to catch their head fairings, their nose cone fairings, and just gonna let them hit the ocean. They've tried over the last 50 different launches to collect with their two drone ships that have that big gigantic net to catch the nose
fairings. Reminds me of like the old Tom and Jerry cartoons with the trampoline trying to catch the trying to catch something falling out of the sky. You just see him, and they always drive it like, yeah, it's just a modern day futuristic version of that.
Yeah, I could see that, and it has not been very successful. So of the last 50 launches, they've only caught 9, and at significant cost to even catch those 9, and that's pretty high fail rate for an Elon company, for an Elon endeavor here. And he's just said that it's, you know, the whole point was to catch them before they hit kind of the corrosive salt water of the ocean, to preserve them as best as possible. But now it's gotten to the point where they've failed so many times that they've improved their ability to recover them out of the ocean and then to still be able to repurpose them even after they've hit the salt water. So he's just saying, well, fuck it. Just let them all hit the salt water.
we ain't catching these motherfuckers anyways. Just let them drop.
Just by failing and letting them drop so many damn times, we've gotten actually pretty good at just cleaning them up afterwards. So we're still repurposing them just after they hit the ocean with greater cleanup costs, but it's just not worth the effort to only catch, you know, less than 20% of your total fairings. So yep, that whole division is gone. Somebody's fired who was in charge of operation, you know, fly ball or whatever that was called. And yeah, that's it. That's it for this. So I still find it absolutely amazing that, you know, the way Elon and SpaceX looks to just recapture, reuse every aspect of these rockets if possible.
Yeah, dude, between electric cars and repurposing space junk, like, he is all about recycling and trying to make this planet a little bit cleaner, man. Like, he's done more for the impact of our carbon footprint, I think, than anybody else in any other field.
It's a bold statement. I'm not sure if that's accurate.
Fight me on it. Like, that's fine. That's fine. Saying, you got better knowledge. I want to know who that dude is too.
If somebody's out there who actually knows these things, yeah, let us know.
He made electric cars cool, and we stopped throwing away space parts. Like, it's kind of two huge things.
All right. Well, that's a week in news here, and We got a quick little segment to go record.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to this.
So if you listen this far, we appreciate you listening to the Nerd Cantina Show. Also going to encourage you to go just check out Take a Knee for Marvel versus DC. If only for our just shameless bragging and ridicule that we're going to throw at them. But then stick around because they've got a great show, an interesting show recapping and talking a little more in depth about some specific topics in comics. And they talk about DC with, like, I don't know, actual fanfare instead of just shitting on them all the time. It's weird. It's weird.
if you listen to our show and are quite salty about how we look at Warner Brothers and the DC properties, you could head over to their show and they'll pet your hair.
Yeah, they'll tell you it's all going to be okay.
Oh, God.
But we appreciate you listening to our show over here. And you know, hopefully you come back again next week. And in the meantime, give us a rating, review, stop over at iTunes or Stitcher or someplace, and let people know that you're listening and that you enjoy it with 5 stars. And join us at the community over at nerdcantina.com/community, or find us over at Facebook as we're having a lot of conversations. And that Facebook group came in clutch. So if you're not a part of it, you should
join.
Thanks
for nothing.
there's time for you to redeem yourself. Join over there now. Have some good times over in the conversations there, and vote next time. If there's a next time, I'm thinking we don't get invited in the future.
Yeah,
years.
I know.
We broke their competition. They had 64 badass characters, and Dean Winchester walks out of it victorious. And then I know they're salty about it.
Yeah, they ain't inviting the white guys again. That's for sure.
All right. Well, all that said, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.